This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
That's right. It is the JR Sport Brief show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. As I come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios, Rocket Mortgage is giving away millions during Super Bowl 55 with the Rocket Mortgage Super Bowl Square Sweepstakes. You can see rules. You can enter for free today at RocketMortgageSquares.com. A big thank you to super producer Stu Kovacs, who helped put the show together, is making sure that it runs smooth as we talk to folks all across North America. Thank you. Appreciate you. The show gets started 10 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Pacific, every single weeknight, Monday through Friday. You can find me online. All social media is at JR Sport Brief. That is Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, all of that. I am everywhere. The phone number here, as you should be familiar, is 855-212-4CBS. That is 855-212-4CBS. And thank you to everybody who has called up and utilized that number, you know, over the past several hours. We started off the show, and I don't want to say analyzing or breaking down. You know, Aaron Rodgers said what Aaron Rodgers said on Sunday after his NFC Championship loss. 31-26, second consecutive year that the Packers go home. Aaron Rodgers has basically said that, you know, there's so much uncertainty, and, you know, people turn that into whether or not he thinks he's going to still be a Green Bay Packer, whether or not he's going to move on. There were rumors about him looking to get a contract boost, knowing that he's going to be MVP. Then he spoke to Pat McAfee, and this is what Aaron Rodgers had to say.
I don't feel like I said anything that I hadn't said before. It was more a realization, I think, that ultimately my future is not necessarily in my control. Now, obviously, after the season that I had, and I don't think that there's any reason why I wouldn't be back. But look, there's not many absolutes, as you guys know, in this business. So to make an absolute statement about something that is not an absolute, it's just I didn't do it, you know, and I guess that's why I went kind of nuts.
Okay, at least he said it. That's why I went kind of nuts. All right, well, look, let's see what happens over the next several months. Whether or not he gets that pay increase, this is going to be a never-ending story for the Green Bay Packers. I don't think this will be a situation that moves into Brett Favre, I want to retire, I want to stay territory. But this is going to be interesting because Jordan Love is still sitting there. You drafted him, you selected him, you probably didn't expect Aaron Rodgers to come out and do what he's done, and now you got a choice. You got to say, hey, dude, we swallow a loss here with the selection of Love. You can't go back in time and get Aaron Rodgers a weapon. You have to admit that you made a wrong decision. You jumped the gun in getting his successor. And then even after that, you can't get equal value for what you have for Love already. And then eventually you have to still look for a quarterback. This is a long story. Not going to get solved in a week, not several months. Let's see what happens. The last hour of the show, last several hours, we had a conversation around the Baseball Hall of Fame. Nobody's getting in off of the 2021 ballot. Not Roger Clemens, not Barry Bonds, and not Curt Schilling, who decided afterwards, once it was announced that he would not be getting in, he said, next year, it's my last year of eligibility. It's the last year the writers can vote me in. Take me off the ballot. If I go in, let my peers, let the 16 men who actually played in the game, let them put me in. So we have a lot of callers. People are split. Put them in, not put them in. We could argue the point forever. My ultimate point is, you know, let's not treat this Hall of Fame like it's heaven, okay? Let's just get off of that point. Because people have made this very dramatic, the Hall of Fame, like this is the end-all, be-all. Like if Barry Bonds goes in, which I don't think he will, or if Curt Schilling goes in, the whole world will burst to flames. Let's get over it. Let's see what happens next year when Alex Rodriguez and David Ortiz are eligible. I don't think they're getting in either. I think it'll take some time. Let's see. So much to discuss there. Major League Baseball, always interesting what they've laid out for themselves over the past 30 plus years. And one of the unfortunate things that we have to discuss and talk about tonight is, January 26th, depending on where you're at here in the country. It may already be Wednesday for you. A lot of people, it's still Tuesday. Might have just crossed over. Is the 26th, a year ago, you know, Kobe Bryant, it was actually a Sunday. Kobe Bryant, his daughter, some of his teammates, some of the staff and family had passed away in that helicopter crash in California, outside of Los Angeles, as he was going to one of his daughter's games. And Kobe Bryant passed away at 41 years old. And it is a wild thing to think about everything that has occurred just here in the country, in the world, in the past year. It is literally like we went from that and just things kept getting worse. You know, it was nothing but about a month later, you know, when we started to, you know, really take COVID seriously here in the United States of America. If you say, you know, what was the point that we took it seriously? But that's a different conversation. But as it relates to Kobe Bryant, it's one of those things where you just go, damn. I remember sitting on the couch on a Sunday early in the afternoon, minding my business, because I generally work 6-7 days a week in some form or another. And that was the one day for me to just sit and do nothing. And then, you know, I started seeing the messages, and I saw it on TMZ first. And, you know, people started tweeting, or not tweeting, people were texting me. And then I got a phone call here in Atlanta to come to work at V103 and unfortunately, you know, walk our audience here in Atlanta through what was going on in the passing of Kobe Bryant. And that's not the work that anyone, that's not the work that I want to do. You know, that's the unfortunate part, to have to sit here, you know, even on a Friday evening. And it's different to celebrate a full life of a Henry Hank Aaron. But to have news that you have to share with folks and update people on what has happened on someone who's 41 years young is not something you enjoy. And so that was Sunday, January 26th, a year ago. A couple of days after that, on NBA television, I was there and doing work before the pandemic. You know, I was doing the news that day, and I had to kind of talk about it some more. And there's some realities here that some people may understand or get or not get about Kobe Bryant. And wherever you fit or wherever you feel is understandable, you can't take anything away from what Kobe Bryant accomplished as a basketball player. You could say he rubbed folks the wrong way on and off the court. You could say that he needed to mature. Let's keep in mind that this was someone who came into the league as a kid straight out of high school in 1996. He was basically, and there are a lot of records. I'm not going to rattle off all of them. He was basically the youngest to do just about everything. Every modicum of success, he was the youngest to do it. And then you want to talk about penultimate, his accomplishments. Five-time champion. You want to talk about his MVPs and finals MVPs and all-stars and all of his years with the Los Angeles Lakers, defensive team, slam dunk champ. We could talk about 81 points, gold medals. We can talk about it all. And the fact is, he continued to evolve, not just as a basketball player, but as a person. As we all like to say, as we just had conversations about, you know, Major League Baseball and no one is perfect here and you don't judge them off of integrity and character, et cetera, et cetera. You know, in regards to Kobe, you saw his evolution. And you saw it publicly. This is what happens when you get someone right in your face when he's 17 years old and you get a lifetime to watch him grow up going into 41. You see him have a family. You see his dedication to the young ladies that are around him, most important to him, his wife, his little girls. You see the transition that he made, not just from basketball, but into business. He was just getting started. He was just getting warmed up. You could say, oh, well, he was a bad teammate. He needed to mature. You could take a look at his legal issues and say, oh, well, I can't celebrate this. I can't celebrate that. Understandable. That's not to take anything away. You also can't take away the legacy that this man left. What he meant to a city, to a state, to a league, to professional sports here in the United States of America. Kobe Bryant did that. What he meant to a culture. One of the things I shared and said last year, when people, you know, may not have understood, you know, Kobe Bryant, oh, it was just a great basketball player. Yeah, he was the guy that wasn't, he was good. He was real, real good. Yeah, he was like Michael Jordan light, almost. He was the epitome of black excellence. Kobe Bryant was someone that you could take a look at, and from how dedicated he was to his craft, you could take a look at Kobe and say, hey, this is something that I could apply to what I'm doing. You can say it was borderline maniacal, but his preparation, his skill, yes, he had talent. Yes, he was born with God-given talent. Yes, he was born with genes. His dad, his mom, dad, professional ball player. It's not a birthright for him to pick it up and run with it. He had to put in the work, and he did it. And so that's why I think is admirable. And so when I think about Kobe Bryant and his legacy, and you can listen, there are a lot of current players. I told you last night, Patrick Mahomes, and this is football, obviously. Patrick Mahomes was 4 years old when Tom Brady went to his first Super Bowl. Patrick Mahomes was 4 years old. The current crop of NBA players, a lot of the young players that you're watching, the future stars, they didn't see Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan is in the books for a lot of folks, almost like Babe Ruth. But they saw Kobe Bryant play. And we know, yeah, Kobe saw what he took as much as he could from Jordan. He was a sponge. And so I want you to hear. I want you to hear this. These are some words from Kobe Bryant. If you're familiar with a TED Talk, Kobe Bryant was in Asia. And he was asked about preparation and what happened and what he did and the work that he had to put in for it. I want you to listen to Kobe Bryant.
If your job is to try to be the best basketball player you can be, mm-hmm. right? To do that, you have to practice, you have to train, right? You want to train as much as you can, as often as you can. If I start earlier, I can train more hours. And I know the other guys aren't doing it because I know what their training schedule is. If I do this consistently over time, the gap's just going to widen and widen and widen and widen and widen, and they won't be able to get that back. So to me, it was just common sense and like thinking, how can I get an advantage? Oh, start earlier. My first class in high school was at 7:45. I used to get to the gym around 5 a.m. and I'd play before school, just me and my coach. And sometimes it would just be me and the janitor. But I played during lunch and then practice after, and then go home, do my schoolwork, and then watch a bunch of game film and games on TV and study. The mentality is a really simple one. The confidence comes from preparation. You know, so when the game's on the line, I'm not asking myself to do something that I haven't done thousands of times before.
Time. Preparation. I like to say there's one thing in life that I know you don't get back. You don't get back time. When it's gone, it's gone. I can sit here and I can joke about DeLoreans, and I can say a whole lot. I had a lot of those jokes last night, jumping into a time machine. But when time is gone, it's gone. What do you do with the time that's in front of you? How do you prepare? And that's not just something that's basketball. That's something for anything. If you can take that approach, you know, and it's so easy now. And we live in a microwave society. You can open up and get information in your hand with a smartphone. You can pull up anything. You can share your instant reaction. You can communicate with folks on the other side of the planet. You can do everything in an instant. You don't have to walk to a library. You don't have to roll through the Dewey Decimal System. The barrier to entry for a lot of things no longer exists. And so people want things instantaneously. They want it right then and now. They want the results just as fast. But it's like building a house. You got to put the foundation down first. You can build a house tomorrow if you want to. Is it still going to be standing in a couple of months from now? A couple of years? Is it going to blow over with the first sign of adversity, the first hard wind that comes through? You got to build the base. And that's something I think that Kobe Bryant laid out. And I can tell you a few interactions that I've had with Kobe. Quick interactions. I think the first time I met Kobe was actually in London. I think this was in the 2012 Olympics. And this is in a giant gymnasium in London. LeBron, Anthony Davis was getting his first shot and chance on the Olympic team as a youngster. I couldn't even think. I think Harden was there, Durant, just on and on. Carmelo, this is Hall of Famers that are in this room. And Kobe fit in. He always did. I could think about another interaction. Richard Sherman had a softball game. I don't even know how many years ago. I had a more personal interaction with Kobe. He found out more about who I am and what I did. Coming from the internet, having to put the work in to get to where I was. And he was very complimentary. And I understood there wasn't an interaction where you didn't see that the gears in his head turned differently. That he was always focused. He was always direct. There was no aloofness when it came to Kobe Bryant. It was always sharp. And so to think about this man who's been gone a year, 41 years of life, it is amazing what he left in that short amount of time for the NBA, for basketball, for Los Angeles. And just as an example of, you know what, if you want to do something in life, if you want to be the best, if you want to increase your chances of success, you can't half-ass it. And whether you loved Kobe, whether you hated him, he was the perfect and prime example of that. And when I think about his legacy, you know, ain't nobody perfect. But his preparation and how he set himself up for success, that was as close to perfect as you could get. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I want to get your thoughts on the legacy and Kobe, what he left behind. You could listen to the stars talk today. You could listen to the legends that played with him. You can look at the stats. You can look at the numbers. What are your thoughts on the legacy left by this man, Kobe Bryant, who's been gone just basically a year to today? 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. You're listening to the JR Sport Brief Show on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
That's right. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. It's been 1 year on Tuesday that we have, unfortunately lost Kobe Bryant. Before we went to break, I shared with you, some personal thoughts and a couple of interactions that I had an opportunity with him. Obviously unsuspecting there. You don't expect someone 41 years old to pass at that young age. And I told you just what I think his legacy is. Just think about his, like he said, preparation, striving to always do better. And so the phone lines are open to you right now. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. When you think about Kobe Bryant, is there a memory that stands out to you? When you think about Kobe Bryant, how will you remember him? I can easily remember, you looked at him, and people don't always live up to the billing. He did. You think about LeBron James, a teenager. LeBron James has exceeded, I think, what anybody would have thought. He hit the apex. He fulfilled his potential, and he's still adding to it. You remember Kobe Bryant coming out. Michael Jordan was closer to the end. You take a look at Kobe, and you're just like, this is the guy? This is the next Jordan? Nah, can't be. There is only one Michael Jordan. And we know that there is only one. It still has only been one Michael Jordan. But Kobe Bryant, man, he took everything that Michael Jordan did, and he had his own style, and he went with it. And he carved his own path as one of the greatest of all time. Kobe lived up to his top billing. And his legacy is going to continue to live on. As a basketball player, I remember seeing Kobe Bryant play. This had to be in 2008, 2009. Madison Square Garden in New York City. And I sat behind the basket against the New York Knicks. This was, I think, Lamar Odom was there and Pau Gasol. They were all on that team. And Kobe Bryant had 61 points. It was like it was effortless. I can look at the box score after the game and go, what? He had 61? It looked so easy. It wasn't even a matter of he's just taking every single shot. It looked so easy. It's like you look at a box score sometimes and you go, so-and-so had a triple-double? You don't notice. And so that's one of the basketball memories that I have of Kobe Bryant, watching him behind the basket at Madison Square Garden just torture the Knicks. And let's be honest, there are a lot of players who go into Madison Square Garden to torture the Knicks. And Kobe was along that list. I want to ask super producer Stu Kovacs. I know, Stu, you are a big Lakers fan. Is there anything that Kobe did amongst many that stood out to you?
Yeah, I just think overall it was just that will to win. I mean, like you said, I'm a big Lakers fan. I buy league pass every year. I watch almost every game. So I've probably seen Kobe play 1,000 times, let's just say. Just that every every game he seemed to have that will to win, to make his teammates better, just really at all costs just to win the game. And that's for me what drew me to him as a younger player. And then as he got older, you know, I just adored it. And that's what I'll remember the most for sure.
Yeah, it's amazing. You think about Kobe, and that's true. That's an excellent point. I don't ever remember seeing a game where Kobe was loafing. I don't ever remember seeing a game where he was disinterested. I don't ever remember seeing a game where he wasn't, like, you just did not see fire or focus. Whether he was on the bench, whether he was in the game, he was ready to go. I can tell you, I've seen LeBron James play over the years, a couple of instances. I think one of his last playoff games before he left for Miami, I remember, I think he was on the bench and he kind of checked out. We've seen the instances, even LeBron is great, but we've seen LeBron James like walk off the court. There's not a moment of this man's career with Kobe Bryant where he wasn't just all in. Andre is here from Mississippi. Andre, you're on CBS Sports Radio. Go on ahead.
Hey, I love the show, man. My thoughts about Kobe Bryant, he's one of the toughest, hardest players that I ever seen come through the NBA. And I just wish that Shaq would have got in shape. These guys probably could have won 7 to 8 championships, but Shaq just would not get in shape. So I love Kobe, man. My prayers go out to his family. He's one of the best players of all time, man.
Oh, we know that. He's one of the greatest. Thank you, Andre, for calling up from Mississippi. Yeah, that's the other thing. What would we have gotten from Kobe and Shaq? And I've spoken to players and people have told me like that was the end of it. There was no way that they would have been able to coexist anymore. That you squeezed all the juice you could get out of that one. Just from where they were at in their respective careers, and Kobe still on the ascent, Shaquille O'Neal still pretty much being entrenched in his prime, but you know, coming out of it, getting older. And we saw that was the commitment that was there. The Lakers weren't going to make that full-time commitment to an aging Shaquille O'Neal. They were going to go with the guard. They were going to go with the guy who was younger. They still got some wins out of it. They got 2 more titles. Not a bad deal. Shaq picked up another one, and he became a nomad before he got out of the league. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. I'm going to keep the phone lines open if you want to give me a holler on the legacy of Kobe Bryant, what you remember him as a ball player, what memories might stand out to you. There's certainly plenty there. A championship with the Celtics or versus the Celtics, versus the Magic, the records, the points. There's so much. And then I'm going to get ready to roll out.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
That's right. It's the JR Sport Brief show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. Honoring the legacy of Kobe Bryant. I want to take more of your phone calls before I have to roll out. And I also want to fill you in on, some of the positive things that are going on. I had a chat earlier today with Mary Davis, the CEO of Special Olympics International. But before I get to the phones, I got to remind you, and this is a direct tie into the Lakers. How about this one? The Player of the Week is brought to you by Grainger. Let's take a look at who got it done this week. Lakers forward LeBron James. Okay, Monday night, 115-108 win over the Cavs. LeBron scored 46 points, 19 of 26 from the field, to go along with 8 rebounds and 6 assists on the season. LeBron James averaging 25 points, 7 rebounds, and 7 assists for a Lakers squad That is 14-4, balling out of control. The Player of the Week was sponsored by Grainger. For all the ones who get it done, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, backed by 24/7 support and access to product specialists and experienced staff at over 250 local branches. You can call, you can click Grainger.com/safety, or just stop by. 855-212-4CBS. Let's get through some of your calls. Get it rolling here. We got Nick who's calling up from Green Bay. Nick, you're on CBS Sports Radio. What are your thoughts on the legacy of Kobe?
Hey, JR. I was just going to say a long time ago, I would work second shift, and I would stay up, and you could never go to bed, and I don't know, depression or whatever like that, and I just bumming around YouTube, and remember stumbling upon a Kobe Bryant compilation video and just watching it all the time, and I would do that, you know, like multiple nights, and just kind of watch in awe this cold-blooded killer just knocking him down and not giving a rip on if he was down or up, or he would just ball hard all the time, and it just, it's hard to bring myself to watch some of them videos now. You get the same feeling, but you just, it's a little different now.
Yeah, it's hard to imagine. Time flies, and, you know, you have a different appreciation, you know, when things come to an end. Nick, thank you so much for sharing that. Calling up from Green Bay. Alan from Toronto, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
Against my Raptors, January 22nd, 2006, 122-106 victory, and he got 81 points. He broke Elgin Baylor's record of 71, and the second highest of all time to Will Chamberlain's 100 in 1962. And he was the, in 2009-2010, he was the semifinals MVP that year. And also in December 20th, 2005, he got 62 points, more than the entire Dallas team at the end of three quarters. And my lasting legacy, my lasting memory is with January 16th, 2006, him and Shaq, they hugged each other just before that game, and they showed that they patched up their differences. They showed, and then at the All-Star game, they were sharing a few laughs, you know, and that was a great moment, too. I was as stunned as you were about the tragedy. I heard it. I was on a ship. I called my son-in-law for his birthday, and I was on a ship just to take off, and we were discussing it. We were on the line for about 10 or 15 minutes and just discussed. I had no idea that he had died until my son-in-law told me, because I had the radio off all day. So.
Yeah. Well, Alan, I'll tell you this, and thank you for sharing that from Toronto. I think there's no way you could anticipate or expect that. Tim from California, go on ahead.
Hey, JR. Hey, so one thing that comes to mind, like you said it a few minutes ago, about appreciating things when they're gone. For me, as a NBA fan, I used to hate Kobe Bryant. But once he retired, and then you go back and look at his game, he was just so, like, just nasty and disrespectful to, like, players, didn't care and stuff like that. You like, really appreciate people like that. And this is pretty much the same concept with how I felt about Tom Brady, too. It's like once they further their career, and then you look back at their, just like the career back in the, when they first started out, you're like, man, these dudes are like dope. So for me, Kobe, like he's just that dude, like that new era type of throwback guy that reminds you of that 90, but still 2000 year basketball player.
Tim, thank you for calling from California. That's accurate. I'll use a word. He was a bridge. He was a bridge player. You think about Kobe Bryant and where his space is in the NBA. He was that bridge between, and, you know, LeBron came a year after this guy finally called the quits, but he was a bridge between, you know, Michael Jordan and LeBron James. He was a bridge. You know, Kevin Garnett was there as a bridge. Tim Duncan was a bridge. Kobe Bryant was a bridge, except for he was a guard, and he was more similar in style to what Jordan did. Bob from Pittsburgh, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
Yeah.
Yeah, Bob, you're live. Go ahead.
Hey, listen, JR, I'm sorry I got cut off earlier when you was talking baseball, and let me just say these two things to you. If you can't let Pete in, don't let nobody in. And now to get to Kobe Bryant, I remember him scoring 81 points and could have got 100. They took him out the game. And only Wilt could have done that. And Kobe ain't nowhere the size of Wilt, the weight. And he was just a masterful person about how he went about his business. I like all the other ones. You know, Shaq can get it down low if you're getting dumped on. Kobe was not one of them big cats. And to score 81 and get taken out in the late in the third quarter, he would have got well over 100 points. And I just think it's a blessing. It's a sad thing that, you know, things happen the way they did. But he was one of the best. And I just want to say I enjoy your show. Love listening to you.
Thank you, Bob, so much for calling up from Pittsburgh. Appreciate you. Tony from Toronto, go ahead.
Hey, GR. I really loved watching the style of Kobe. I don't think there's any been anybody like him, except maybe for Jordan, that could play that style of basketball and be successful at it. And there isn't anybody today. I wish there were more, because I find that style of basketball much, much more exciting than the current basketball. So it's a tribute to Kobe that it was an amazing style that he played, and he played it very well.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. Thank you, Tony, for calling up from Toronto. Yeah, and that's cool. I have so many memories of watching basketball in the 90s as I grew up. That was one of the ideal. I remember the All-Star game in New York City. I believe it was 96, I think 96. And, you know, this was 98. It was 98. And, you know, it was showtime for Kobe. It was like he had arrived. Here he is, young All-Star. And he's like, hey, I'm on a stage now. I'm here with MJ. And it seemed like the entire broadcast was just, I don't know, passing of the torch, or here's the young guy. Let's see what he can do. Look at the young guy. He's poking the bear. He's poking the great Michael Jordan. And here we are, you know, 20 plus years later. It's just like, damn, he carved out his own legacy. You know, we don't get those comparisons to, oh, is he going to be this or is he going to be that? No, we don't get that no more. Unfortunately, you know, his life was cut short at 41, and so there was nothing else to put on top of it. But we saw the life of his basketball career, and you don't necessarily get those comparisons to Jordan outside of skill, outside of determination. And it's pretty awesome. I love it, and I appreciate every minute that we saw him play, the evolution of it. And his dedication, there was just so much that he did. You got to love it. You got to appreciate it. And you know what? It's also unfortunate, even tonight preparing for the show, I mentioned this at the beginning, you know, Sekou Smith. I'm sure some of you are familiar with him. And even if you're not familiar with the name, you probably at some point, if you're a basketball fan, you read or you saw him. Sekou Smith was a contributor to NBA TV. Covered the NBA for a long time. You know, he unfortunately passed away. And, you know, that's something that I learned a few hours before coming on air. And NBA TV did an excellent job of acknowledging, you know, his passing. And that's something anybody who's ever worked in the NBA, anyone who has worked in media or interacted with him, you know, nobody has a bad word to say about Sekou. And I had a chance just to be by him, around him a couple of times at NBA TV. Would always see him at the road during All-Star games, see him in quickly passing in the media room. And, you know, he was one of the first guests here on my show when we started up a year ago. So all the best of my condolences to Sekou Smith's family, you know, and everyone who is impacted by his loss. And so, yeah, just overall, you just always got to keep things in perspective. And like the clip I played earlier before we got out of here about Kobe and time, You don't get it back when it's gone. You only got but so much time to prepare. Make the most of what you got while you have it directly in front of you. Because quite frankly, you never know when it's going to end. You don't know when that last chance is going to come. So you got to make the most of it. And that's one thing to take away from the legacy of Kobe Bryant and the life of Kobe, through all the goods, the ups and the downs. So listen, folks, it's been a pleasure hanging out here with you tonight as we went through Aaron Rodgers. And then we went and talked about Major League Baseball. We talked about the legacy of Kobe. I will save my conversation with Mary Davis, CEO of the Special Olympics, until tomorrow, where I'll share that with you. We'll spend some time talking about Josh Allen. There's some other young quarterbacks. It's been reported that Lamar Jackson, he's going to get paid. How much should he get paid? Is it time to pay him? Trevor Bauer, looks like the New York Mets are on the forefront to go ahead and sign him. So there's a lot to discuss, a lot to talk about, especially, you know, we got the Super Bowl coming up February 7th, but there's so much that is still going on. You can find me online, all social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, at JR Sport Brief. You know, Wednesday night, I give you a new top six list. And so tomorrow, you'll have another one. Tune in, find out exactly what it's going to be. A big thank you to super producer Stu Kovacs. And as always, thanks to each and every single one of you all for tuning in and listening. I'll be back tomorrow, 10 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Pacific. You've been listening to the JR Sport Brief Show right here on CBS Sports Radio. Don't move, though. Why? Because Amy Lawrence, she's coming up next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.